Listening Exam 1 Part 2
A warm welcome to Professor Charlotte Anderson, who is here to discuss a new campaign against a colour. It was launched earlier this month by mothers protesting against the overwhelming use of pink in marketing and advertising for girls, and the culture of pink, which invades every aspect of girls' lives. One of the founding members talked in an earlier interview about a well-known toy shop which has separate floors for girls and boys' toys, and these are colour-coded, pink for girls and blue for boys. Professor Anderson, where does this idea of blue for boys and pink for girls come from?
Well, Evan, it's actually very interesting, historically speaking. There was no real set pattern in either the US or the UK before the early 20th century. On the continent, in Germany, girls were dressed in blue because that was the colour associated with the Virgin Mary. In the UK, blue-eyed children of both sexes were often dressed in blue and brown-eyed children in pink. In 18th century France, however, girls were already in pink and boys in blue.
Oh, so it's the fault of the French, is it?
Well, we'd like to think so. No, I think the real blame lies with full-scale industrialisation and the manufacturing industry. They made the decision to enforce the stereotype in 1920s America. Baby clothes were standardised in the two colours, and parents were left with little choice. And then, in the 1960s and 70s, with the rise of the women's movement, there was a strong move against pink and dresses as the natural way to dress girls.
So what's happened to make us go backwards?
I think, I'm not sure if you'd agree, that in lots of ways the world has become more conservative and gender division has become more obvious. But things do change. In the 1960s, long hair on men was seen as a sign of revolt. And now lots of blue-collar workers have long hair. Now it's just a hairstyle. Maybe what we need to do is to encourage really tough men to start wearing pink so that it stops being a girly colour.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? Actually, I think it might be starting. I remember one episode of The Wire where one of the toughest, hardest cops wears a bright pink shirt.
Yes, of course, some men do have that confidence. What we need to do is educate our children, who are naturally conservative, not to associate pink with all things feminine.
So how successful do you hope this campaign will be? Are you planning global domination?
I'm not sure, Evan. I don't know if pink for girls is as strong in other cultures as it is in the Anglo-Saxon ones. I seem to remember seeing both boys and girls in sailor suits in Belgium, and in China too. I do know that in China you just don't see as much pink. But then, of course, it may spread unless we do something to stop it.
Where do you start?
Actually, I'm starting to notice a shift towards more inclusivity from some of the major toy manufacturers. Some brands are starting to show pictures of girls on the boxes of their construction toys, for example, or boys on the cookery sets. I feel that campaigns like ours can really make a difference.
Thank you for coming in and discussing this topic, Professor Anderson. And good luck with the publication of your book, too. For those of you who would like to learn more about Professor Anderson's crusade, her book, The Pink Blues, is now available in all good bookshops. Next up this morning, we're going to be discussing...